Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another NTA Rugby podcast. My name is Joe Harvey. I'm the host. And today I'm joined by Chris Heal and Max Ashcroft. Boys, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Joe. How's things?
No complaints, mate. I've got the sun is out, as it has been for a lot of this lockdown period. I'm inside with the windows closed because there's a lot of birds outside, though. Max, how are things?
Yeah, all good, thank you, Joe. All good, yeah. I've got the same bird problem as you, mate. A lot of birds tweeting away outside. But yeah, the sun is shining. Yeah, really nice day. So looking forward to a new NCA pod.
Yeah, it's been a while since the last NCA pod, probably about the best part of a month. And this one is essentially focusing on the changes to the North and South in National 2. Hinkley, of course, moving to National 2 South, as Leicester Lions did at the end of last season. We're also going to make a quick couple of mentions to other things going on in the National Leagues. Chris, I believe you did a piece with Joe Gray last week about the Barnes' big lift. If you could maybe just explain a bit of what that is and kind of how things have been going with that.
Yeah, it's it gained a bit of traction throughout last week. I think I noticed it on Instagram that Jamie George had sort of done a bit of social media work for them. He basically, one of the first team lads at Barnes, Jack Garrett, his father sadly passed away due to coronavirus. Gary Garrett, and Gary was a much loved member at Barnes, and he was very, very popular around the club, and he was actually good mates with Jamie George as well. So Jamie did the Instagram videos, and it seemed to generate a lot of interest from the wider rugby public as well as the National League community. So we thought it was a perfect opportunity to catch up with Barnes and speak to Joe about why the club were doing the 1 million kilogram big lift last Saturday to raise, obviously, money in honour of and in memory of Gary Garrett, but also raise money for the NHS workers as well during this tough time. So it was a great initiative from Barnes. I think they've actually set out to raise £10,000 to begin with, but they've absolutely smashed that. I think they were on £145,000 by the time it finished. So it's been an amazing effort from everyone at Barnes. I think the day on Saturday was brilliantly received. So it was good to catch up with Joe before that, but the club have done excellent work, and I'm sure everyone at the club is very proud of what they've done.
Yeah, no, massive well done to everyone there. A lot of money raised there for obviously what's a really good cause. What else have we had going on? We've had the season reviews that myself and Chris have been voicing. It's been a bit weird having to listen to myself every other day. Max, have you enjoyed listening to mine and Chris's ramblings?
It's been a highlight of my day, lads. It really has. No, it's been a really good campaign so far. I think it's been well received by the clubs. Just keeping up that daily content, which has been good.
Yeah. But no, things on the NCAA Rugby website have been going okay. We've had consistent features of the new arrivals who are joining the NCAA next season. Last week we had Phil Davies, who was Director of Rugby of Yorkshire Carnegie at the end of last season. He'll be moving into more of a consultancy role for 2021. Chris, you spoke to Barnstaple. Who else have you spoken to? You've done
Two of the returning clubs in Barnstaple and Bladen have been out of the league for the last couple of years. So they will obviously both coming up. I think you've done Yorkshire and Bournville, haven't you, Joe? So there's a couple, two or three more clubs that we're speaking to. Rochford 100 is next on the agenda, which should be on the website over the next couple of days. They're one of the clubs I haven't covered before during my time working on the National League. So it's going to be interesting to speak to them and talk about their journey. So, yeah, that's been good, as well as the regular features of Max's teammate, Matt Riley, on the website.
Yeah, Matt's got, for anyone that hasn't been reading the features, Matt's got kind of a hell of a story, really, and he's lent his time to us to send Chris over some articles every week. And Max, obviously you probably knew a few of the stories, but you obviously, as one of his teammates, would have been quite influential in asking him to write for us every week.
Yeah, I think Matt's had a really interesting rugby career. I think he's played at England age group in some really big teams, star-studded teams. Then obviously had a career at Sale. Then he was at Sedgley Park, sort of in his early 20s, I think. And kind of been there ever since. And I think it just shows different aspects, different periods of your career. And he's obviously, he's a big character. He's a good talker. He's got some stories to tell. So I think it was always going to work well. And I think there's a lot of stories like that in the national leagues. And if anybody does want to tell them, please do let us know. I'm more than happy to get you featured on the site.
Gary Kingdom of Taunton signing up as well to do some stories over the next few weeks. And I imagine he'll have some good ones, having been with Exeter Chiefs for many a year. Chris, you must be quite happy that people are actually wanting to do our jobs for us.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, Gary, we spoke to him early in the year about sort of his journey and Taunton's journey, because they were obviously towards the top of National 2 South at the time. And them getting promoted made us all think that Gary would be a perfect candidate to follow on from Matt's blogs. And I didn't realise that Gary and Matt had played against each other way back when. And Gary actually sent me that picture to say this, you know, I played against Matt. So it's fitted in quite nicely that Gary will be taking over the mantle from Matt for the next few weeks. But yeah, he's got a great story, and I think it's sort of a perfect time for him to do it as well, with experience the best season they've ever had. So yeah, Gary should be doing a few for us over the next couple of weeks to take us through May, and hopefully more to come over the summer from the pair of them as well.
And are we putting out a call to National One stalwarts, or are we holding off?
I'd say so. If there's any interest from anyone, Joe, who fancy to hand a bit of writing during these tough times, keep themselves busy, please do get in contact with us.
Right, so we might as well move on to the agenda of the day, which is Hinkley moving to National 2 South for next season. Obviously, after Leicester Lions were moved to that division last year, when we obviously look at the geographical locations of the two teams and all the other teams that could be moving to the South, it became quite obvious that it probably was going to be Hinkley. Chris Heal, were you really surprised, or was it kind of expected?
I think based on the last sort of 3 years we've had seen, because of the way the league's panned out and gaps have appeared, that a few Midlands clubs have gone international to South. I know Broad Street and Birmingham and Solihull were in a couple of years ago, and obviously Leicester Lions for this season. So I know there was a lot of rumours and talk about it was going to be Hinkley, and it was finally confirmed by the guys well above us at the NCA that Hinkley were going to be in National 2 South along with Leicester Lions last season. So it's going to be a big challenge for them. I mean, they've come up to National 2 North over the last few years and done extremely well. I think the year Sale FC were promoted, Hinkley were very close to sneaking into that top two. I think that was the year Sedge finished second, actually. So they've done well, obviously, this year, third place finish, and who knows where they might have finish of the season and actually continue, because they were hot on the heels of Fylde. So I think they'll be looking forward to a new challenge, but they've got to be pleased with the work they've done in National 2 North. And one thing I would say, which maybe goes in Hinkley's favour as well, is because Leicester Lions have done really well in National 2 North in recent years, and they've managed to transfer that into the South. So I think Hinkley will be looking to follow suit.
And Max, obviously you've had to do a couple of these away days to southern teams, and obviously that's going to be a big thing that they're going to have to contend with every year now, Hinkley as well as Leicester Lions. How much is a long trip away to a Red Ruth or a Chinner, how much does that kind of impact on performance as well as preparation?
Yeah, I think obviously there will be some big trips for them, but there's also some big trips for them in the National 2 North. I think what Chris said, you look at how Leicester Lions have transferred over to National 2 South. They have probably one of the best seasons they've had in the National Leagues for a long time. I think Hinkley's game will do some damage down in National 2 South. I think National 2 South will be the weaker league next year. I think if you look at National 2 North, it's pretty jam-packed full now with Rotherham and Hull Ionians coming down. And I think you can arguably say Bladen are a much better side than the three teams who got relegated out of National 2 North. So I think National 2 North will be very hotly contested next year. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Yorkshire get on in the National 1, because, you know, if they do have a free fall, which some expect them to have, you know, if you see them down into National 2 North, you've got the likes of Yorkshire, Rotherham, some massive names that were up in the Championship into National 2 North. It'd be really interesting. But Hinkley will do well down in National 2 South. And, yeah, good luck to them.
What's it like playing Hinkley?
Yeah, they're tough. Physical side, very gobby. Get in your faces. You know, they're very... They like to have a chat. You know, they rate themselves. But, you know, they back it up, which is ultimately what you want. You know, you don't mind teams having a bit of a chat and a bit of banter with you if they're actually good players. And, you know, there's some real good players in that Hinkley side. So I think they will get under the skin of some of those National 2 South teams. So, yeah, I think that they'll have a positive and a strong season.
Yeah, and as much as there has been the positive story, of course, of Leicester Lions going into National 2 South and performing really well, actually in contention for that time, kind of top two spot at one point, I remember, during the season. There's, of course, the opposite side of it, which was Birmingham Solihull last year, who relegated from the South and now have faded into a merit league in the I think it's North Midlands, as there are a few. So we've kind of collected a few different thoughts and feelings from people across the league. So first up is an interview with Chris Campbell, the Hinkley head coach. And I spoke to him yesterday about his overriding thoughts and feelings going into National 2 South.
So Chris, the big news at the weekend was that Hinkley will be moving to National 2 South. What are your kind of initial thoughts on moving to the Southern Division?
Well, we're quite excited by it. To be honest, we were expecting to go at the end of last season, and so was everyone else, until a little known rule ended up with Leicester Lions going. So we'd started planning for it. So when we did the maths ourselves when the season ended, we knew it was probably going to happen, so it certainly didn't come as a surprise to us. And having seen how well Lions did, and to be honest, I think Lions could have been even better than the finish they got, we're going in really optimistic. And, you know, we've been in National 2 North for 4 years, and some variety is good, going to see some different clubs, meet some new people, you know. So yeah, we're quite excited by it.
And obviously this season was it was a really good season for Hinkley, wasn't it? Obviously banging on the door of that playoff spot, maybe even the top spot if Coldy weren't knocking around. But is there positive to be taken that it's a good group at the minute and then things could potentially go well in National 2 South next year?
Well, I think so. I mean, there was a lot of turnover at the end of last season, both in terms of coaches and players, and that took time to embed in, probably longer than we thought it would, if I'm really honest. But going into this summer now, we're speaking to a couple of players about joining the club, but we're not looking at a big transition. The vast majority of the squad will all be returning. And the way already talking about pre-season, we're pitching it is it's just going to be a continuation from where we were, as opposed to a fresh start. And so many pre-seasons often feel like fresh starts, and we don't want that to happen. So we're not going to make any outrageous predictions, but we do think we're in a good place with a really good squad to be able to do something.
And in terms of recruitment, is it a bit of a harder gig now because you're having to ask players that are amateurs to do a lot more travel at the weekends than maybe they would have been expecting if you were talking to them 2 months ago?
Well, I've done the maths on it, and the travelling isn't as much more as you think it is, because obviously as a Midland side, we're used to going up to Tynedale. We would have been having to go up to Bladen next year. We've had all the Manchester clubs, so it's only about 400 miles more if you take out Guernsey, which is obviously a bit of an anomaly. So it's actually, when we did that, it's not too bad, and we've got Leicester Lions with us, which is great. And clubs like Henley and Old Albanians, they're not too far away. So it's actually, when you do your initial look at it, you think, oh blimey, we're going to be going here, there, and everywhere. But actually, it's not as significant as you think it might be.
And have you had a chat with anyone at Leicester Lions to see what it was like for them, or have you kind of been doing it all yourself, kind of your own research about what next season's going to be like?
No, we have been. I mean, we were as the county coach before everything stopped. I was speaking to some of their players anyway, who were going to be in the county side, and I, one of their coaches I used to work with a few years ago as well. So we did have a chat with them, and you know, and they've said that they didn't find a huge amount of difference in the two leagues, and they were really disappointed, I think, not to have done better. I think they think there's a number of games that they should have won, and if they'd have finished higher in the league, they think that would have been a justifiable finish. So, the two clubs get on quite well. There's a lot of mates across the club, so I think there's going to be a lot more conversations going on, and also we're excited about playing each other again, because that was a big loss not having that game last season.
Because obviously I can imagine it's a big motivational point, having a Leicestershire derby.
Absolutely it is. And a lot of that comes from just because a lot of the guys know each other. They play county rugby together. Some of them have played at previous clubs together. You know, there's nothing more than people just want to get one up on their mates that they've seen for a long time. And there's only 10 miles between the two grounds. So, yeah, we're definitely excited for that one whenever it comes around.
And obviously next season it's going to be a bit different for some people and stuff like that. That's a bit of a given. But what do you think is a realistic aim for this Hinkley side going into a division that they've never been to before?
I think we'll be setting ourselves the same target as last season. The target we set ourselves last season was come the last month of the season, whether that be April or whenever that may be, to still be playing competitive games. And we were on course to be doing that this season before it stopped. I think if we'd have made anything saying we want to finish first, we want to finish second, we want to finish third, picking particular positions out, I think that puts too much pressure on the group. And you know, it was blindingly obvious after 5 or 6 weeks that, you know, we weren't going to be winning National 2 this year. And if we'd have said that was the aim, I think that would have made it quite hard for us. But by saying, look, by the time we get to the last month, we want to be playing competitive fixtures, that kept the guys going. And I think we'd be in a similar position again. You know, saying we want to be playing competitive games and see where that takes us. Of course, we hope that's at the right end of the table, not the bottom end of the table.
Many thanks to Chris for his time then. And then who have we got up next? We've got Gareth Collins, the head coach of Leicester Lions. Now, they had a really good year last year, didn't they, Chris?
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned it just before Chris's interview there, Joe, that they were challenging towards that cluster of teams at the top of National 2 South this year. They sort of faded off towards the end of the season and finished in seventh place. But I think if you'd sort of offered Leicester Lions that top half finish before the start of the season, they would have 100% snapped your hand off, because going into that league is always going to be tough. And I think a lot of people have written them off straight away based on the experiences Birmingham, Solihull and Broadtree had. A new team from the north and down to the south would really struggle towards the wrong end of the table. But they proved a lot of people wrong. They picked up some excellent wins along the way as well. So, yeah, I mean, Gareth Shawley, he was very happy with the way everyone at the club has adapted to life in National 2 South. Obviously, the travel for a club like Leicester down to your Redruths and your Westcliffs isn't ideal every other Saturday, really. But, they were delighted with how things have gone. And Gareth signed a new contract for next season as well. So he's obviously more than happy with how things have gone, and looking forward to another challenge in National 2 South next year.
So I'm joined by Leicester Lions head coach Gareth Collins on the phone now. And Gareth, obviously Leicester Lions achieved a seventh place finish this season in National 2 South. But how much have you guys relished the challenge? Because I know at the start of last season there was initial disappointment, but you guys have seemed to put that to one side this year.
Yeah, I think we wouldn't have chosen to go into the South, and it had its challenges. I'd be lying if I said that wasn't, and we weren't as a club a little bit nervous about the prospect of it. And we got more used to the competition and some of the longer travel, and we got some of those trips out of the way. We settled into it, and we were really pleased with the way we finished in the end.
Yeah, and for you as well, Gareth, was it a bit of a personal challenge because you were stepping into the head coach role at Leicester Lions as well? So, you know, you possibly were planning for a National 2 North campaign, which you've experienced before, but this was another step into the unknown for yourself.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to play in National 2 North for that in season.
Yeah.
So, I knew a lot of the clubs and some of the faces, whereas National 2 South, never played in it and haven't played against many of the sides that we played against this year. So yeah, it was unknown, but in some ways that was perhaps a good thing. And it was a complete fresh start, not just for me, but for the club and for the group of players as well. So it felt like we were all stepping into something new together, which actually I think helped us as a group.
Yeah, we spoke to Luke Veebel at the start of the season, and he sort of said, well, it's just rugby at the end of the day. I know you can talk about what league you're in and travelling down to Westcliff and Redruth, but he just said, look, we've got to treat every match as if it's just a normal game of rugby. Was that kind of the mentality for you guys to be so competitive this year, to treat every game just as a normal occasion?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we do treat every game the same, and we prepare the same. Whether you're going up north or whether you're going down south, the calibre of the opposition is always good at this level. So I think once you get over the idea perhaps of the south teams being maybe stronger or the league being stronger, in reality it's very similar to National 2 North, and the approach that we take is the same either way.
And I mean, we've seen sides in the past as well, Gareth, like your Broad Streets, your Birmingham Solihulls, who have been put into the National 2 South League and have struggled, and unfortunately for them, they were relegated. So was that also in the back of your mind? Because I can imagine many people were probably saying, well, a Midlands club in National 2 South again, they're going to be struggling. But did that sort of spur you on that people were maybe doubting your abilities?
I think it did a little bit. And I think, again, I'd be lying if I said that it wasn't in the thought process at the start, and I think lots of people did think that perhaps we would struggle, because history said that sides, certainly from the Midlands, that have gone into that league have done. I think it was a little bit of a motivator, and again, it's something for us as a group that we could tap into and try and achieve something this year, whether, you know, if we weren't going to win the league, just finishing as high as we possibly could was going to be a good thing. So that was certainly part of the motivation, and thankfully we managed to do that.
And you touched earlier, Gareth, about sort of travelling to different places and different clubs and that new experience. So how pleasing are you that, by the fact that the whole of the club, the players, the staff, the coaches, the chairman, etc., have just bought into everything you've been doing this season? Because for you guys, it has been a bigger commitment than most this season.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely delighted for the way the club has risen to the challenge this year. The club has felt a bit like the club that I played for all those years ago as well, which is kind of what I wanted. Everybody's bought into it, and that's meant that we've been able to be relatively successful. I think that going to new clubs is always a good thing. I think you have to try and look at it as a good thing. Playing at new sides, playing at new grounds, meeting new people as players and coaches and officials at the club. It's good, and that's what rugby's about, and I think we shouldn't lose sight of that. So actually, in that respect, it's been a good experience for us this year.
Yeah, and I mean, in the opening month of the season as well, Gareth, am I right in saying, I think it was the club travelled over 500 miles for the first three or four away games, so you must be delighted in some sort of way that Hinkley will be joining the league next year?
I think the one thing perhaps that was missing was those local derbies, yeah. And perhaps some of the games where you're going to get a bit more of a local crowd, where there's people from both sides. That will be nice, and it certainly will be nice to have one away game that is within a couple of hours. It was strange, but it kind of became the norm, really. Mm. That, you know, once you're on the road, our kind of timing stayed the same, and we seem to be going a couple of hours every week, and then obviously just the odd one where it was a bit further, Redruth, and this year Guernsey will add to that as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention some of the teams there that have come apart exactly just around the corner from you guys. So that's a part of the next challenge going forward, I imagine.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be it's an added sort of obstacle from what we've had this year. But again, that's not a bad thing, just to have something else to look forward to, and again, a new experience. For everybody involved in the club, so you have to look at it as in a positive way.
Yeah, and just finally for me, Gareth, on a personal note, I know you signed a new contract earlier in the year to stay on as head coach for next season, whatever that may be, due to the coronavirus pandemic. But how excited are you for next season if it is to get going? Because you guys have set yourself a real good platform going into it.
Yeah, really excited. We're all a bit unsure as to when and what will happen. But as and when it does, we'll be looking to hit the ground running and kick on from last year. We were really pleased, and I was really pleased with the way that the group came on throughout the season, and we'll definitely be looking to improve on our performance last year in this year.
Yeah, many thanks to Gareth there for his time. And then finally, we've got an interview with former head coach of Birmingham and Solihull Bees, Pete Glackin. And obviously, as much as I bemoan that they'd now in the Merit League, Pete's conversation is actually really massively positive, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it's tough because this time last year, you know, they'd gone down and there was a lot of uncertainty around the club in terms of finances, and obviously they were into the Midlands Premier. That is the Midlands Premier, and rightly you say, Joe, that they had to withdraw from the Midlands Premier due to the financial reasons, and now in the Merit League. So it's not a story which, you know, it's something the Bees look back fondly on, because I know they've had financial troubles probably a decade ago as well. But Pete said, in terms of their actual experience for those sort of 30 league games in National 2 South, yes, it was it was tough to go into that division, but the club learned so much playing in that league, and it's an experience that they actually relish throughout. He is positive. I didn't expect him to be as positive about it, but I think that just sums up sort of the Birmingham Solihull last year. They were really positive throughout the season. They really nearly stayed up as well, which people will talk about, but they were very close to staying up if it wasn't for the point deduction which carried into last season. So, generally positive from Pete, and he was one of the in charge of one of the teams that have struggled the going into National 2 South from National 2 North.
I'm joined now by Pete Glackin on the phone, and he's now the Birmingham Moseley head coach. But of course, Pete, you were in charge of Birmingham Solihull last season, and you guys came extremely close to avoiding relegation. I think you only missed out by 6 points. So how big of a challenge was it for Birmingham and Solihull to be in National 2 South last season, Pete?
Yeah, hi, Chris. Firstly, thanks for having us on. I think first and foremost, National 2 South is a really highly competitive league, and certainly, significantly a step up from the Midlands Premier League. So going into that South League was certainly a step up for many reasons, really. And one of those reasons is that we came across some fantastic rugby clubs, week in, week out. Henley Hawks, obviously a traditional club who've operated at National 1 and National 2 and Tunbridge and Taunton and, Red Ruth. So some fantastic clubs and well-supported clubs along the way. But I think the experience was great. I mean, we had quite a well-balanced side in terms of the players that we managed to keep from the previous season. And added some fantastic young lads into the squad, and I think effectively what that gave them is that kind of a stepping stone into what National League rugby looks like. Mm. And it was relentless for them week in, week out, and a significant step up for some of the lads who'd operated at kind of the Midlands Premier level for a number of years. So I think the experience for our squad was fantastic, and obviously, we were dealt like a significant blow having points deducted before the start of the season, but it kind of gave us that bit between the teeth to go and take that challenge head on. But what I'd say about the rugby is, I just mentioned there that the step up was significant. It was across the board, really. So we found that, players who had operated, in the Championship and National 1 had found their way for some reason or another, whether that be, circumstances, jobs, the stage of their career, kind of operating in National 2 South. And, you know, that bodes well for those teams because it makes them a lot stronger. And the style of rugby that they played was great. And it really tested us along the way. So, yeah, it was a great experience overall for the Birmingham and to kind of, you know, get together with old friends as well that we probably hadn't seen for a long time, because that's a league that's not the common denominator for Midlands teams, generally sitting in the North League. From past experiences,
you mentioned your squad was learning throughout the season and adapting to that new level, Pete. But I know, if I'm right in saying, I'm just off the top of my head, towards the end of last season, you guys really did seem to have the pit between your teeth, to use your phrase there. So it seemed like you guys really adapted to that challenge as the season went on.
Yeah, I think it's like anything. You know, you dip your toe in the water and you're waiting to see what it looks like. And that's certainly the kind of phrase, and certainly the challenges that we faced. You know, we improved as the season went on, and it's like anything in terms of the detail around the rugby. Ensuring that set piece game is absolutely spot on, and making sure that's consistently a strategy that's, you know, going to work for you was certainly, you know, one of the main areas that we grew as the season went on, and I kind of found our feet in that department in comparison to where we played in the Midlands Premier, where we were the dominant force week in, week out, but by quite a long way across, you know, many areas of the game. So we learned a lot about ourselves as a squad, and actually faced different challenges each week, you know, home and away, and lots of travelling that took place, going to Redruth, as I say, Canterbury, you know, a place that we'd never been to before, and I certainly hadn't played against Canterbury before as a player myself. So I kind of stumbled across some new clubs myself, which was great, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, we talk about the rugby family being buoyant, you know, now in the current circumstances. It very much was then as well. So, it was great. It was great. And, you know, I feel that our players who have obviously gone on to different paths on the exit of that season, you know, were all the better for it along the way.
You mentioned sort of the travelling side of things, Pete, and you can have the challenges on the pitch playing some really good established sides in National 2 South. So how pleasing was it for you to see the club buy into sort of the travel aspect? Because it can be tough for people and players, because you all have families, you know, it's a massive day out to go down to Redruth, to go down to Canterbury. But that travelling was obviously one of the key points that was always discussed, but it seemed like Birmingham Solihull were just committed to it, and, you know, you weren't as fazed by it as many people thought you might have been.
Yes, I think for us, we set our stall out quite early on, and yeah, certainly travelling as a discussion point is very, very much at the forefront of playing rugby at that level, and will continue to be so. So it was, yeah, we took it, we took it on face value, really. Even to the point that in pre-season, we thought, let's get a taste for it. So we actually travelled to Bournemouth for our pre-season game. So we just had a feel for what it would look like. You know, give the lads a kind of like dry run, really. But it is challenging, because as the season unfolds and the relentless weeks come in, you know, National League rugby, whether that's National 1, National 2, North or South, it's extremely relentless in terms of the commitment that you know you have to have in place, and you know, families and work commitments. And I think, you know, everyone gets squeezed at certain points of the season, whether that's through work or, you know, your family commitments get greater. So it is challenging, and we certainly face those challenges. And then you drop, you know, your normal percentage of injuries into your week to week, how the week to week unfolds, and then it becomes even more challenging. And I think they're the factors that are certainly in place when a team, you know, either gets promoted into international leagues like the Bees did that particular year, or you know you're preparing for another season in there. So it's it's exciting, but there is lots of challenges, you know, for every team in those leagues.
Yeah, and you do speak positively about your experience in National 2 South there, Pete. So have you been kind of surprised by how well Leicester Lions have done this year? Obviously, Hinckley are going to come into the league for next season, whatever that may be, but it seems like Leicester Lions have really taken advantage of being in this league and really relished the challenge.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you asked a supporter or someone from the outside, you know, is there a difference between National League 2 North or South, I think you'd get a perception of, yes, National 2 South is more open running rugby and National 2 North is maybe more set piece dominated. I don't actually believe that's the case.
Right.
And I think Leicester Lions are probably an example of that. You know, rugby is extremely challenging week in, week out, whatever national league you're in. And I don't think there's a real, you know, or a major difference between the two, which probably was the case, you know, a decade ago, where right. I would say, you'd be travelling up to some strong northern teams, you know, your Tynedales and your Hulls and those types of teams, and they're going to give you a different type of challenge. But I think it's kind of evened itself out. And you know, Hinckley going in across to from north to south, I think will do extremely well. And I think, you know, clubs who are built on good foundations, and I know Scott Hamilton, you know, coach with Scott, great guy. He will certainly have, you know, his squad intact and, you know, everything in place for them to do really well in that league. And I'm sure they will do because, you know, Scott's a great guy and understands what rugby looks like and, you know, and how to put things in place to prepare a side for it. So, I think Leicester Lions are an example of that.
Obviously, it's a one-off game, the playoff, but what is that experience like going down to play in a southern team? And is there, I don't know, you'll know, Max, but is there an actual, a lot of people say it's an increase in standard when you play a National 2 South team, but God knows from my perspective whether that's true. So
I think competitively across the board, National 2 North's better, but I think you've got four teams in National 2 South which are strong and they're pretty star studded, so it is a tricky one. And you usually play it in better weather because it's at the back end of the year, you know, so it's the ground conditions are good, the weather's usually good, it's which levels it out a lot in terms of scrum and maul and things like that. So I think you've got a few different variables, but it's, you know, there's some really good teams in National 2 South.
Do you think any of it's got to do with fatigue after having been so competitive in the North for basically 9 months?
Well, there is that. Mm. I think if you look at across the board, it's a more competitive league, National 2 North. Mm. And I think you do see some bigger scores in National 2 South in terms of, you know, your 60 odd nils and things like that. Well, you don't really get them in National 2 North anymore.
Mm. Yeah, and if they were high scoring games, they were between the two teams, like Fylde Stourbridge, like 61-46 or something like that. Yeah. It's not like some one team's completely battering the other.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right, okay. So that's pretty much everything for this episode of the NCAA Rugby Podcast. To be fair, everything on the NCAA website is really good. Plenty more to come. Any final words, guys?
I think, you know, it's a tough time at the moment, isn't it? With no rugby on, and we would have probably been talking and building up to a playoff game this weekend, though it might have been last weekend, but we would have been reflecting on the season as a whole. And of course, it's disappointing that we haven't had a full conclusion to the season, but we're just following, obviously, all the government guidelines. I think we've all got everything crossed that rugby will return sooner rather than later. So any updates that we get will be from people higher up than us at the NCAA and obviously from the RFU as well. So anything that is official will come out on the website and social media regarding that. But the clubs have been great with us this season. I think we put a tweet out the other week just to say thank you to all the players, coaches, photographers, because without them,
we wouldn't, me, myself, Joe, Max, and Max wouldn't be able to produce the content that we do. So big thanks to all the clubs this season, and we're looking forward to welcoming all those new clubs we mentioned at the top of the pod.